Good morning. Merry Christmas to you all. Santa Claus come to your house? Yeah? Yeah? No? Coal. Chunk of coal for you, Dino. Me too. It's nice to have you here. On this Christmas day, usually more a quiet service. Really? You must have been a good girl.
She said, "Now what are you going to threaten me with?"
Santa, yeah. Now you can just go back to normal for another year. Yeah. It's nice to have you here. I want you all to know everyone's invited to receive Holy Communion today. They're always welcome at the table of the Lord here at Bethesda. Next Sunday, we only have one worship service at 10 o'clock. Coffee served at 9 o'clock, so come on over for coffee, and then we will worship and bring in the new year, or end the old year. Maybe it's a good year to end and a new way to begin. It's about time for new beginnings, right?
Right,
good. And then in January and February, only one service on Sunday mornings. That's at 9 o'clock, and then coffee's going to follow, so... Choir takes the time off. A lot of snowbirds are heading out of Dodge. Travel safely. Send a card up in the middle of the heat stroke and and let us know that you're surviving. We'll leave a little few fish for you in the lake, okay? And yeah, it's nice to have you here. What a wonderful day this is, Christmas, the day God becomes human and joins the human race and saves us. From ourself. Let's begin with a word of prayer. We thank you, Lord, for coming here and calling us to be your children and promising us your love and giving us hope and peace in our hearts and in our souls. And the reminder that we are not alone and that you will always be with us to give us your strength. And so today, as we draw close to the manger scene and see your baby lying in that hay, we pray that your love might come alive in our hearts and in our lives, that we might see all people as your children who are loved and forgiven. So send your Spirit this morning as we gather. Send your Spirit as we say our prayers and sing these wonderful hymns. Send your Spirit as we gather around your holy table. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is Joy to the World. Please rise and let's join in singing first two verses of 267. Please turn to the Christmas dialogue. The world is decked in the garb of celebration. The world is engaged in the spirit of celebration. Yet the best efforts fall short. It is the incarnation of God.
How can you respond
How can we celebrate the Messiah's birth?
We celebrate his worship.
Christmas is a time of worship. It is the moment when the busiest of us pause in wonder. And let us join in the last two verses of Joy to the World. No more let sin and sorrow grow, nor thorns invest the ground. He comes. Please be seated. Our first lesson this morning comes from the 52nd chapter of Isaiah. A messenger races home to Jerusalem with the marvelous words, "Your God reigns." In comforting the people, God proves to be the best brother or sister redeemer they have ever known. Everyone will witness the victory, the salvation of God. Isaiah writes, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who says to Zion, 'Your God reigns.' Listen, your sentinels lift up their voices. Together they sing for joy, for in plain sight they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God." Here ends the first lesson. Our psalm this morning is Psalm 98. Let's read this responsively. The bold R, please join in the refrain. "All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God." Sing a new song to the Lord, who has done marvelous things, whose right hand and holy arm have won the victory.
O Lord, you have made known your victory. You have revealed your righteousness in the sight of the nations.
You remember your steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the voice of song.
With the trumpets and sound of the horn, shout out with joy before the King, our Lord.
All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell therein.
Let the rivers flap their hands.
The Lord will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Please rise in honor of reading the Holy Gospel. The Christmas story according to St. John. The prologue to the Gospel of John describes Jesus as the Word of God made flesh, the one who reveals God to be full of grace and truth. John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The Word of God, the Word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn, hymn 286, Your Little Ones, Dear Lord. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It was a Christmas pageant presented by four-year-olds in one of the large churches down the cities. It was an evening to remember. It began with three Virgin Marys coming out to the on the stage. As they stood there, they of course began waving to their parents like four-year-olds would do. It's not every Christmas pageant that has three Marys, but through the years they had accumulated three costumes. And so they were there, and then there were two Josephs, and then about 20 angels with these great big angel wings with gauze that filled them in, and then another 25 or so little shepherds that each brought their own sticks to be the crooks that shepherds made. Well, during practice, the directors, the teachers had marked little circles where all the angels would stand, and little X's or crosses where all the shepherds should stand. And when they came out there, first the Marys and the Josephs and then the angels, well, when they marked the circles for the angels, they didn't take in mind that they had all these big gauzed wings, you know, so they kind of took up space. And when the shepherds came out there, they couldn't find their little X's that they were supposed to stand in. Well, there was one little boy who became extremely frustrated when he couldn't find his place, became angry over the whole experience, and he finally spied his teacher behind the curtain. And in a voice that everyone could hear, it was a loud stage whisper, he said, "Because of these blankety-blank angels, I can't find my cross." Of course, he didn't say blankety-blank because this is a church and it's Christmas morning, so that would never be said here. As I heard that story, I wondered, can't that happen to us sometimes? I mean, the romantic elements of Christmas, the shepherds and the wise men and the angels and the star in the east, not to mention the commercialization of Christmas. All of those things have a tendency to obscure
the important meaning of it all, particularly the message of the cross. And that's where this story ultimately leads, to the cross, some 32, 33 years later. That's why it might be healthy on this Christmas day for us to turn to this prologue that John writes in John's Gospel. This is John's Christmas story, and it's a strange Christmas story, huh? There are no angels, there are no shepherds, there's no star, not even a Mary and Joseph. Instead, there's some of the most beautiful and most important theological words ever written. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the power to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor of a husband's will, but born of God. And then we're reminded again, the Word became flesh. God became flesh in the person of Jesus and made His dwelling among us. We've seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. No shepherds in this story, no angels, no Mary and Joseph. Yet, ultimately, here is the story of Christmas. The story says, first of all, that Christmas isn't an act of humanity. It's not anything we did, but it's something that God did. That's what this day is all about. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that was made. When we could do nothing for ourselves, when you and I could do nothing for ourselves, God stepped in to save us. That's what John's telling us. A man by the name of Bob Considine tells of the time he was accompanying little infants from Vietnam to the United States for adoption. And he was with a little orphan girl on a long flight to the United States. And as he sat there, the orphan girl, a little baby, her eyes became full of tears, but she didn't make any noise, absolutely no sound at all. Considine found the stewardess and asked what the problem was. Is there something wrong with this baby? And the stewardess had seen orphans come before, and she was quick to tell Considine that this was normal. And she said the reason they don't make noise when they cry is because they learned a long time ago that when they cry, no one will come. And that's a sad story. A child quits crying when she learns that no one will come. That could be our story. We probably cry and cry and cry and no one came, so we stop making noise. But God comes. It's not our story because of the babe in the manger, but Christmas is not our act. It's not our humanity. It's God's humanity. God becomes human that comes. It's His story. The story says in the second place, this prologue from John, that God acted in the only way God could act. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not understood it. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not recognize Him, did not receive Him. Why could the darkness not understand Him? Why couldn't we follow God? Why did the world not receive Him? That problem is quite clear, I think. If you try to imagine the difference between a keeper of an aquarium and a fish inside the aquarium, then you might begin to understand the difference between humanity and God. God is spirit. Have you ever seen a spirit? Have you ever seen a spirit? God is the creator of the universe. A universe that may be millions and millions and millions of light years across. And he's still creating. I mean, God is so huge, so begin, that we can't hardly even begin to conceive the extraordinary power and the extraordinary knowledge that this God has. And yet, he became human so that we might get to know him a little bit. How could God even speak to us without scaring us to death? Because he's so magnificent, so great. There's a Dr. Daniel Paul Matthews, he's the rector of Trinity Church, delivered a message on Christmas Eve, St. Paul's Chapel, New York City. Now, this was just after 9/11, remember. Just after the Christmas after the World Trade Center was destroyed by terrorist bombings. St. Paul's is close to ground zero, and yet the message that he expressed about God's solution to the gulf that exists between God and man really spoke to me. I'd like to share it with you. This is what he said Christmas Eve. He said, pretend something like this happened for a moment. The angel of Gabriel goes back to God. He rushes up to God and says, well, God, I've got good news and I've got bad news. God says, well, give me the good news first. The good news is that my mission is accomplished. I visited those people you want me to visit it with. I told them that what you told me to tell them, all of that is accomplished. That's the good news. Well, what's the bad news? The bad news, the angel said, is that those people down there on earth are so terrified of you that every time I visited someone, they fell on their faces and were in fear. I had to tell them, fear not. They got so frightened when I came close, they couldn't stand to be in my presence. And God says, well, that's the reason why I have to carry out the plan I've made. He says to Gabriel, he says, you see, that's why I need to go to earth, because my people are so frightened. They're so full of fear that I've got to bring a message that they no longer need to be afraid, that I'm going to be with them. And how are you going to do that? Because they're so fearful, Gabriel asks. How are you going to do that? He says, well, there's one place on earth that the people aren't afraid. The one remaining place that people aren't afraid is in the life of a little baby. My people on earth are not afraid of a baby. When a baby's born, they rejoice, they give thanks. They've got no fear. They nurture it. They care for it. They grow with it. The only place in their lives where people aren't afraid is with a baby. So I'm going to go to earth, and I'm going to become a little baby, and they're going to receive me with no fear at all. Because that's the one place my people have no place to fear is in the life of a baby. You see, God acted in the only way God could act, without overwhelming us, without taking away our freedom. God became a tiny baby. Christmas is an act of God. In Christmas, God acted the only way God could act, by becoming a way so that we didn't have to be afraid of him. And last, in Christmas, God gave to us the greatest gift God could give to us. God told us who we are. Have you ever received a Christmas gift that you knew was not well thought out? I mean, someone sent it to you just to get the gift-giving over with and done with? You sent a gift like that, didn't you, Dean? Just to get it done with. I read a story. I like reading history. Huh? Some of you remember the great Democrat Adlai Stevenson. Back when I was born, Adlai had just been defeated anyway. When he was working with the Agriculture Adjustment Administration, he wrote a marketing agreement with the walnut industry. And because the walnut industry was so thankful for Stevenson's work, they sent him great big gunny sacks full of little bags of walnuts. And so Christmas had come. He had been so busy. He started handing out walnuts to all his aides and all the senators. And this is my gift for you. My gift for you. Well, unbeknownst to him, inside each little bag was, this is presented to Adlai Stevenson by the Walnut Association. Well, he's in a hurry. He didn't give much thought. We do that sometimes. We give gifts without much thought. But that isn't the way God works. That isn't the way God works here. God knew right from the beginning what he was doing. God gave us what we needed most. God told us who we are. He told us who we are. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. That to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the power to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, not of human desire, of a husband's will, but born of God. That's who we are. We're His children. We're children of God. He tells us that we are His children. And when we know that, the meaning and purpose of life should change, because we are of God. We are God's children. We are God's people living here on earth. Marjorie Talcott was married, had one child through the Great Depression. The family managed to scrape through the year during the Great Depression, but when it came time for Christmas, she and her husband had to tell their son, little Richard, that they wouldn't have any money for Christmas presents. But the father says, Richard, this is what we can do. Every night after dinner, we'll sit down and we'll draw pictures of what we'd like to give to each other. And so they sat down after the meal every night before Christmas and made pictures, and then they pinned them onto the Christmas tree. And that Christmas tree, by the end of the week, was just a wonderful, wonderful tree. For Dad, there was a big black limousine and a red speedboat there. And Mom had a big picture of a diamond bracelet and a fur coat. And little Richard, he had a camping tent and a swimming pool that was there. And then on Christmas Day, they each brought out one more present. And little Richard pulled out his present, a crayon of a man and a woman and a child. And they each had their arms around each other, and they each had a smile on their faces, and there was a Christmas tree, and down below was one word, us. Us. And years later, when Marjorie wrote the story, she says that that was the richest, most satisfying Christmas that they'd ever had. They didn't have a thing, but they had each other. And Richard's card summed it up. It's about us, the children of God. The love and security of family. It's the kind of picture that God presents to us on Christmas Day. It's about us. Read God's Christmas card. Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed on His name, He gave the power to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, not of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. You see, Christmas is an act of God. He came to us. Not an act of humanity, not something that we put together to celebrate. God acted in the only way that He could act, without taking away our freedom. He became a man and gives us a way of following Him. And God became a tiny baby in it. And He told us who we are. We are God's own children, you and I. We don't need to fear anything, because God is with us and we belong to God. That's the Christmas story. That's the Christmas gift. That's the Christmas message. Amen. Merry Christmas to you all. Let's join together in singing 278, Away in a Manger. Thank you.
eyes and let's turn to the offertory prayer on the bottom of page 3. Let us pray together. Merciful God, it would have been enough for you to give us the fruit of the earth by which we live. But this meal, by your promise, you also give us yourself. Use what we have gathered her in feeding the hungry world with your love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's join in the Christmas Creed. I believe in God the Father, creator of all things, who sent his Son as my Savior. I believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, announced by angels, worshipped by the wise men, who lived to suffer, die, and rise again, to free me from sin, death, and the power of the devil. I believe in the Holy Spirit, who has brought me to faith in the Christ, and by whose continuous work in my heart I am ever led to lay before the feet of Christ my worship, my life, my love, to live under him as my King, both now and forever. Amen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for all people according to their needs. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. For the increase of peace among the nations, let us pray to the Lord. Bring peace on earth. For the spread of the joyful news that the Savior has come, let us pray to the Lord. Christ the Lord, bring joy to the world. For the poor and those who find no room, let us pray to the Lord. Christ the Lord, bring help to the poor. For the renewal of the whole church in unity, let us pray to the Lord.
Christ the Lord, bring renewal to the church.
For the light of Christmas to shine on us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Christ the Lord, bring us the light of your truth.
Rejoicing in your birth and trusting in your mercy, O Christ, light of the world, we commend all for whom we pray.
Amen.
So we gather at this holy table. Jesus, after he had grown, after he had done his mystery, called his disciples, went to celebrate the Passover. The angel of death had passed over his people Israel some 1,200 years before. It was a celebration of freedom. That meal, he wanted to give his people a sign of his love. And so he took bread, broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. All are welcome at the table of the Lord. If you'd prefer grape juice, it's found in the center of our communion trays. We'll begin communion on this side, and we'll follow with this side. Table is set. Come, eat and drink. How about you and I receive first, okay? The body of Christ is broken for you. The body of Christ is broken for me. The blood of Christ is shed for you. Go find a basket. dries the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in his precious blood, strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. Let's join in the post-communion prayer on page 5. Let us pray. Radiant God, with our eyes we have seen your salvation, and in this meal we have feasted on your grace. May your word become a part of us, that we may be your holy people, revealing your glory made known to us in Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Jesus is the promised Savior, born of Mary. May his birth among us renew your hope.
Amen.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Go in peace. Christ is with you.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is 290, Go Tell It on the Mountain.
On the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.